Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, October 10th, 2007, the only October 10th, 2007 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. I'm coming to you live from very chilly, even wintry, I might add, northern Wisconsin. And we want to welcome online Mr. Michael Williams, the president of the Gospel Revolution in beautiful Houston, Texas. Michael?
Yes, Glenn. Good evening.
Oh, how are you?
You know, I am just fantabulous.
You were describing to me just prior to going online that things are shaping up nicely down there at the Freedom Worship Center, and of course many of our listeners are interested in the progress of their orders and their thank you gifts, and as you folks who have followed this webcast and the Gospel Revolution for a while now know that all equipment has been delivered safely and soundly to Houston, and things are coming along nicely, Michael. At least it may have taken a while, but it's happening, right?
Yes. No, I'm really pleased with it. We the person who is working with it has only one day a week to contribute to it at the moment, which is plenty of time. If the equipment had been up and running all the time, we would have been able to get we'll be able to get all of the orders out because the equipment is really very efficient. But with the transition of the equipment and some things having been done differently than what the program calls for, and it has just taken a little bit of time. But this evening I've been at the office all day today, and Amber, who is now the CD burner supreme for us, has done a marvelous job, just highly organized, and she has everybody all organized as to what they have and who it goes to and how many, and they are in duplication. Actually, last Wednesday, duplication was going on, and also this Wednesday. And the inserts are finally, after us owning the equipment now for better part of a year, year and a half, and for the first time, we're going to be able to print full inserts, printed all the way around, and the spine and everything, because I wanted to really produce an excellent, excellent product, because we're presenting an excellent, excellent gospel, and it has not been up to par until now. And it's not to say that there won't be, you know, a bad CD sneak through on us occasionally, but those things will be able to be rectified quickly, and I've not advertised our CDs anymore at all because it just felt a little strange trying to tell people about our new CD series, which we do have more, but it's kind of difficult to tell people about our new CD series and to get you to purchase them when you haven't gotten the ones that some of you ordered several months ago. But that is not going to be the case in the future, and this dilemma that we have faced in particular with the reproduction of the CDs and everything, this drama has come to an end, and we are now up to full production. Like I say, we have someone that can work on this all day on Wednesdays, but one more Wednesday, and we will be shipping. We will be shipping. So we're looking forward to that.
Could somebody say hallelujah?
Oh, geez. I could say more than that. I tell you, this has been, you know, one thing and I know people know my heart. This has been it has been an anguish for me, because the one thing that I have always really been striving to do is to do whatever I do. I'm not talented to do a lot of things, but what I do and what I promise to do, I really strive, Glenn, to do with excellence. And this has been a heartache to me that people have not had their orders tended to properly, and even some of the CDs that have gone out have been blurred printing and stuff that was not within my control to quality check at that time. Not printed to center, different things, the inserts not looking really good, but that is over with. We are going to deliver this product because not just for the people's sake, but for my sake, my own peace of mind and my heart, because, doing something that just isn't as excellent as it can possibly be, you always run into stuff, but if you can't do it excellent, I'd rather not do it. And one of the things that I've done, I know that I've not only attempted to do, but I have done it, and that is with great efficiency. I believe we have presented a very excellent gospel to the world, and we want to follow up with excellent service, excellent communication and networking with all of our partners and everything, and piece at a time, transferring the duties of the office, even from Illinois down here, being in process too. But we're going to do that in a pace where that we don't get things lost in the process. But the CDs are they're up, they're going. I know for a fact that everyone, I thought we had lost, thought we had lost some of our recordings, but as it turns out that we were able to access those. We were able to convert the files, which that means something to some people, and some of you, if you're like me, I didn't know what convert a file meant. I didn't know files needed conversion or salvation, but I guess they do. So anyway, we're not only converting the world, we're converting files. So, and that is not something that I do excellent, but I'm making sure that we have somebody who does know how to do those things, to do this with excellence. And I am personally overseeing the quality of this work now.
Well, that's all good news, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that there's a lot of people, whether you're listening live or on the archives, that are waiting for your materials. There are thank you gifts that are coming from the last couple of Gospel Revolution pledge drives, orders that you've had. But what would you say, Michael, this, regardless of when somebody's listening to this, whether it be live or on the archive, it's October 10th. So by what certain date should they have their things in hand? Assuming everything continues to go well, what would be, in other words, if somebody doesn't have something by a certain date, then they could follow up with another email one more time.
Well, by certainly by the end of this month, everything that we have in house now that needs to go out, regardless of what it is, even if it just came in, by the end of this month, we will have everything cleared out completely, and that includes mailing time. If you have not received something by the end of this month, then we need to know about it, because in the process, the order has fallen through the cracks, and all we need to know is what you got, and that's it. And make sure you give.
Not what they got, but what they were expecting to get. And this, of course, is no question asked. All we're asking is that you let us know what you were expecting. We're not looking for any proof of purchase or anything like that. We just want to get this once and for all straightened out. And, I think, Michael, this is a good time to just remind everybody, of course, you're listening to Glenn Klein Online with Michael Williams, Gospel Revolution, and that it's just been a year ago that the webcast went online. And during the course of this process, periodically we've explained to folks what our financial situation is with the effort, but also where the money is going to. And folks, this is just the truth, and the bottom line, Michael, is that one of the reasons that there has been such trauma and such hassles in producing this thing is because we have not been able to pay somebody to do it. It's been all volunteer.
Yes,
that's the reality of it.
Yes, and getting volunteers to do technical work is that's difficult to find. And that has definitely been the case for sure. And then, you know, and God bless the people who did try to help us, David Manley, and who took over doing the CDs, and with his best of efforts. But, you know, David was holding down 3 jobs at the time. And so it was just, you know, his heart was in the right place, but it was just, it was a bit more of a chew than what he was able to do, at least as efficiently as what somebody who was being paid. And David would have done it absolutely excellently if he would have had the time. I would have had to have done like most people do, and that's hire somebody to do it. Hiring him, he certainly had the expertise to do it, but rushed for time. He did everything he could do to get things out, and he got it out in without the privilege or the time to produce as great a quality as I know that he himself would have wanted to do. Because, you know, when you got to get up and go to work tomorrow, you got to shut things down and send it out as is. So, but we are not in that position now, and we will not be in that position again.
This is a turning point, folks, in this effort. You know, Mike, we talk about we have an excellent gospel to share. It's the only gospel to share, and your presentation has dramatically impacted untold numbers of lives. And you're right, it's about time that our distribution process matches up with the quality of your teaching and the quality, frankly, of the revelation and the understanding of this gospel. And all you folks that are listening and have been patient, you're part of the process. And there may very well be a day where we'll look back on this and say, remember when. And nothing worthwhile is easy. And this, as Michael said, has not been easy. But once again, we're going to move on here, and we just want to thank you for your patience and for your continued communication. Speaking of which, as you may be able to tell by listening, I am on via phone line coming to you from a very frigid northern Wisconsin. Winter hit here, Michael. I mean, it's in the 30s. It is, the leaves are off the trees. And it was in the 80s this last weekend up here. And all of a sudden, the whole thing turned. And I'm walking around through the offices and doing my speaking up here and my life coaching sessions. And I got my hood up and my collar up. And people said, what, are you cold? And I said, no, that's why I'm dressed like this, because I want to be warm. But as I mentioned last week, that I was going to have an opportunity to speak at my brother's synagogue in the Chicagoland area, and that came to pass, Michael, on Sunday morning.
Tell us how that went, Glenn.
Yeah,
going back to the synagogue again?
Well, I told him that I had not spoken in a synagogue since I was 16 years old, when my rabbi chose me to do a little sermonette during our confirmation service, and where I had stood up and boldly proclaimed that while I had gone through all these years of Jewish education, that I did not believe in God, that the thing that I had got out of it was a sense of pride about being Jewish, but I saw absolutely no evidence of God at all. This is when I was 16. And my rabbi...
You said this in your synagogue, so during your confirmation, you affirmed that you did not believe in God in the Jewish synagogue.
Exactly true.
Wow.
And a rabbi loved it, because he loved provoking thoughts, and of course there was major murmuring going on in the synagogue at the point, as you could possibly imagine. And so I told the folks on Sunday at the synagogue in Chicago, that was the last time that I spoke it in a synagogue. But I told him my story about how I had been, had a very wonderful encounter with this Jesus, and that from that point on, I had been slowly but surely and then quickly sucked into a very legalistic, cult-like experience that you beautiful humans can relate to. My topic, Michael, was why evangelical Christian support for Israel, which of course the folks at the synagogue are interested in, is dubious at best. And I explained to them why. And I explained to them what the evangelical church teaches about Israel and about the Great Tribulation and about the rapture and about hell and about the time of Jacob's trouble. And I drew an analogy, Mike, between evangelical Christian support for Israel and evangelical Christian support for the Republican Party of the United States. And I had made a prediction many years ago, probably 10 years ago, that the evangelical base of the Republican Party would be the Republican Party's undoing because, of course, it is based on so much false premise and misunderstanding of the scriptures and the New Testament writing. And I said to the folks, the nice Jewish people that were gathered at the synagogue, receive the support for Israel if you want. Israel, of course, needs all the friends they can get. But be aware of why they're supporting and what they're up to. I told them, it is not a legitimate case that they believe in, that Israel, that two-thirds of Israel is going to be cut off at the second coming of the Lord, that Jesus is going to come back on a white horse, that the valley of Megiddo in northern Israel is going to be filled with blood up to the horse's bridle, and that certain Christians, a lot of Christians still to this day, believe the Bible to be literally true. There will be horses involved in the last great battle, and how just absolutely insane it is. But I also told them, Michael, about the gospel revolution. And I told them that evangelical Christianity, as we know it, Roman Catholicism, starting out with it and now, of course, into all kinds of different schisms and isms, is unraveling as we speak. And I'll tell you, they looked at me like they thought I had lost my mind. But I told them about
it. I was going to say, how far did their jaws go to the floor?
But I made my case, and I told them about you beautiful humans who are getting the, because for whatever reason, we've gone back and we've looked at the scriptures in context. I told them, Michael, about how the prophets, you know what I did? I took their actual prayer book that they had just prayed in the service before the Sunday school class and showed them the prophecies that they had just been praying about and thanking God about how God was going to redeem them, that God was going to be their Savior, and there it is in the text. And I said, notice where it never says that you have to believe that God's going to do it. It says it as a matter of fact. And I showed them it was actually the word Savior in their liturgy. And I said, the concept of the Savior of the world is not Greco-Roman. It is Hebrew in its origin. And I said, and of course I told them the whole history thing. But so they were fascinated, and we had a great time. And I'll tell you something, Mike. When I was in the church and speaking in tongues and laying hands on people and seeing people fall over in laughter and thinking they were healed, if anybody would have told me, you know what, Glenn, you'll have the opportunity one day to share the gospel back in a Jewish synagogue where people would be welcoming you in to their presence, I would say there's no way in hell.
Yeah.
And there it was. The gospel, ladies and gentlemen, will be preached to all the world. And people are ready to receive the truth. They're fed up with religion and hypocrisy. And, I mean, Michael, the church is getting so so thin in its in what they consider their foundation of following the God's law and having to repent for sin and all that stuff, it is coming apart. It's unraveling right before our eyes. I told them, this may or may not happen in our lifetime, but it is a fait accompli. It's just a matter of time, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this we will close this chapter of world history on modern-day evangelical Christianity, and more so than any other. I mean, other religions may thrive, but I tell you, this one has been, because it claims its roots so deeply in Judaism, it is the prophecies to Israel and to the world that was in that prayer book that will be the undoing of this massive distortion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that, you know, what you were sharing with them, you know, it is so ironic that the reason that the Jewish people do not believe in Jesus is because of Christian doctrine, because it is not in their prayer book that God is going to give them an option for redemption. It is not in their prayer book or in their prophets, which they read, that God is going to send them a Savior, that if they only believe in Him, He will redeem them. It literally states quite the opposite, that He will redeem them by His own hand, and that they will have nothing to do with it at all. And the prophet said that this righteousness would flood the earth as the waters cover the sea, that there will not be one rock. Isaiah said that there would not be one dry place, that righteousness would not flood this earth as a result of the coming of the Jewish Messiah. The Jewish Messiah was the one who was going to come and redeem the world, even as you told these folks. But isn't it ironic, Glenn, that the reason Jews do not believe in Jesus is because there is no doctrine in the Hebrew Scriptures about a Savior coming and doing a, excuse my language, but a half-assed work, and then coming back to finish it up at least 2,000 years later, which they have said he, you know, was, you know, that this has been imminent now for over 1,000 years. I don't know what they were doing before that. But even before that time also, but it's just so ironic, you know, Glenn. I just to say this to you, you know, and to the people, I just so appreciate you so much, and you know, where you've come from and the walk that you've gone through has just been magnificent, and speaking of doing things with excellence, I think you've done it excellently, and you've kept looking to see instead of being closed-minded. And I remember coming down and speaking for you the first time as a pastor. I don't know how many people realize that the very first time that I remember meeting you. You can correct me if there was another time, but I remember coming down as a guest speaker. And you were pastoring a church there where you now, the same town where you now run the Sun Bar. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was the first time. And, that's how it all got going.
Yeah, that's how it all got going. And, you know, and our relationship has grown. And, you know, the one thing for sure is that in my relationship, you know, a lot of people call in and are all the time giving me, you know, lots of compliments and things. But, you know, tonight I really want to thank you, Glenn, for what you've done, for being a friend. My God, I mean, it's been just amazing, and not just a friend, but you know, it's not just been support of me, it's been support of the gospel and your own fervent belief in this. You do what you do for the same reason I do what I do, and that's somebody I can identify with, and you know, it really has been a really, really wonderful thing. And there's just a handful of people, and I'm talking one hand, not two hands, but there's been a handful of people, and the one thing that I can say is that regardless of whatever has happened, no matter if it's been a misunderstanding or what, the one thing that I'm always confident of is that Glenn Klein has never and would never do anything to be malicious or to hurt me or anybody that I know, that I've known of over these years. In fact, quite the contrary. So in dealing with excellence, you know, I'm just really, I'm very grateful to be connected to a man with an excellent heart, and I just appreciate you.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
That was unexpected and much appreciated.
And
I'm kind of a clump.
Send your cards
right
and letters to Mike.
Remember, Mike Myers used to do an imitation of his Jewish mother-in-law on Saturday Night Live, and he would get all and he would get all the clump.
Yes. Are you the clamp?
It's the clamp. All right, folks, we still got about a half an hour left. This is kind of an unusual night. We've got our third phone line is down right now in the studio, but we don't have any emails queued up for whatever reason. So if you email us right now, if you're listening live on the webcast, you can get in right now. So email us your questions at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from some folks tonight. We know you're out there listening. Sometimes, of course, I know that it gets a little frustrating because oftentimes we have questions queued up from weeks before, but we did a good job of getting through the ones that were remaining from last week, and we just haven't had any come in specifically for this particular webcast. So get on your computer right now, or you're on your computer. But type in a question or a comment. We'd love to hear from you tonight at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. You know, speaking of excellence, Michael, and again, thanks a lot for saying that. I mean, of course, it means the world to me. But stuff is happening. And one of the things that has been added to the Gospel Revolution webpage is this Champions of Grace program that we just introduced last week. And people are already taking advantage of that to get ministers' license and credentials. And I think it'd be wise to rehearse for the folks one more time, or anyway, as much as it takes, to explain what your feeling is about why this is important and that is this is not a new denomination and why you have chosen to make this available to the folks through the website.
Well, Champions of Grace is an organization which is put together with John Adair and myself and another gentleman, which we will be presenting to you soon, whose name is Rick. We are the executives with Champions of Grace. And it, in particular, is designed to help people who are needing licensing, ordination, who are already doing the work of the ministry, but many times you need these things so that you can have access to places that you normally would not have access without such things. It's basically just a place where that we want to offer support for you. Now, on our own website, Champions of Grace, it's kind of, and of course all of this is networking, the Champions of Grace that I just mentioned is for people who are wanting to network, who would consider themselves in some form of ministry. Now, Champions of Grace, since it's just such a great term, don't you like that, Champions of Grace? I just love it. But we have started that on our website for the networking of just anybody who wants to put their name on there and let others know where they are so that they might find others also and begin to communicate. You might even find by signing up in that, you may find somebody who lives next door to you who is a Champion of Grace. and who may be just looking for someone else in their area. It's what our GRIP program was, but we kind of, because of the complications of getting that up and going, we ditched the name because it had a bad name by then. And but what a great name to replace it with was our Champions of Grace program. And as that goes along, there's no fee to be a Champion of Grace. We want everybody to sign up in there just for the networking sources. But somewhere in within that, we're also going to start offering our CD of the month, which I will. In fact, we've got four of them lined up right now to go out as CDs of the month, which we've not been able to keep that program, which was the tape of the month, which we still owe some people tapes, which you'll get now in the form of a CD, and we're going to catch all of those up. And with speaking here at the church, having opportunity at least to speak here at the church on our weekly sessions that we have here, I will be able to keep up with getting a new teaching done every month that people will be able to subscribe to. We'll be putting that on. It's going to be just what you'll do is take advantage of that, and within the Champions of Grace network, you will then be able to sign up for the CD of the month. And we're also going to put on there a chat room. Now, for purposes that I'm sure people will understand, we want the chat room to be passcode accessible. And so people who sign up for the CD of the month, that will also serve as their membership, if you will, into the chat room. And then you'll be given a passcode, and people will be able to chat together all within this chat room setting, which Tim is now working on for us. And you'll be able to sign up in that for $8.95. But that $8.95, they'll be getting their CD of the month, and also we're designing that so that we're not going to have people. You know, we had the message board. Remember, a few years ago, we had it on the website, and we had the message board. But we had
right.
So many people who were so in opposition against the gospel and me that it turned into just people having to deal with people trying to character assassination against me, which is fine, but I just didn't want the people to have to deal with it. If you're going to assassinate my character, tell me, or tell whoever you want, but we want to make the chat room a place where that if somebody comes in and they are there to disrupt rather than to share ideas and to talk about the gospel, whatever their ideas may be, if they're there sincerely to do that, but this way, with you having a membership and access to the chat room, then if somebody violates the code that we will have clearly posted, then we simply bump them out of the chat room, and it will be monitored much like any other chat room is, that certain types of content are not accepted, and insulting people and coming in to disrupt is not going to be tolerated. We want a really great environment where the people who love the gospel can share their ideas and bounce their ideas off of each other and communicate in an open forum. So that's Champions of Grace. I know it's a lot of information, but there's a lot going on.
On, and of course, this effort, the webcast continues. And feel free, yet this evening, folks, if you have any questions about the Champions of Grace or anything else, to email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. For those that are listening on the archive right now, just get in line for next week's program. And so that always feel free. This is the way that we deal with questions, deal with issues, deal with doctrinal issues, is through the webcast. You email us anytime at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and then just go back and check your question will be dealt with, whether it's dealt with immediately in the next webcast or not, or in the coming week after that. But all of the issues are dealt with right here, and we appreciate you including where you're writing from, and also please keep it brief, because we like to get to as many as possible. Tonight we don't have that problem, because for whatever reason, it's kind of an unusual situation.
This way we get to talk about Champions of Grace. And one thing also, Glenn, I want to make sure that the people understand, because we're starting to get some emails saying, yes, I want to be. You don't have to email us and tell us you want to be. Just click on Champions of Grace and fill out the information.
And then you also, as a Champion of Grace, you're saying, you know, I want to be a contact person to help give information out. But if you don't want to be a contact person, and you just want to let people know you're here, the information is also right there. Again, just like Mike said, you don't have to email us. You just go to the website at gospelrevolution.com and click on the Champions of Grace icon, fill in your information, and you will be kept abreast of exactly what is happening with the Gospel Revolution, Michael's meetings, the teachings that are available, other gatherings that are happening. And, you know, I think it's important, Michael, right now to remind everybody that everybody that is a part of the gospel does not agree on every issue, on maybe even on many issues, conducts their lives in certain ways, practices their faith in a certain way, if you will. But the one thing that we all need to agree on is that there is nothing that can take away or add to our righteousness in of ourselves besides the blood of Jesus. That's the bottom line. Anything else we can talk about, we can discuss, it's interesting, but we've got to have, you know, Paul said it this way. He said, if any other gospel is preached, let that man be accursed. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, we just had a church getaway. The people that were members of the church or their friends and families and stuff, I went camping over the weekend. Now, I have to tell you, now those of you, there's a lot of people who just chuckled when they thought about Mike Williams going camping. And I have to admit that I was camping, yes, on a campground, yes. But I was in a queen-size bed with air conditioning and satellite TV. So so that's as far camping as I'm going to go. However, around the building was woods. So I was camping. But what I was going to say is that we had a baptism while we were there. And others have heard me teach about baptism and the fact that baptism is, you know, something that I believe was carried over from the practice of the doctrine of washings, as is spoken of. But it's something that people begin to baptism in Christianity has been done in many ways. It's been done for salvation, as the Church of Christ teaches, that unless you are baptized in water, you're going to hell. It's been used by the Catholic Church when the sprinkling, that if your child hasn't been sprinkled by the Catholic priest in an official service, your child dies, it's going to purgatory, that it's not going to heaven if it dies without baptism. And it's been taught as a lot of things. And what John does, though, is the church that I am attending practices baptism, but they simply practice it as a point to where that they want to acknowledge that they are dead to their own righteousness, and a celebration of the righteousness of Jesus. That's what it's symbolic of. And they use it just strictly as a celebration. And you know what? I was able to participate and really rejoice with the, you know, this one of the guys in their church that got baptized. And it was really a sweet, sweet moment. But what was so sweet about it was that there were no implications that this was something he had to do to obey, to be in obedience. It was simply a symbolic thing to where that he had a chance to publicly celebrate with other believers and even non-believers, if there were any around, that he was dead, not being raised up to a life of performance, but that he was dead to a life of performance and indeed had been raised into a life of absolute grace. And it really was a beautiful thing. It really was. And some
really
people
like
are not going to want
opposite.
To practice baptism at all.
That's really the exact opposite of the way the church would approach baptism, where when the pastor or the priest, the minister, brings somebody up out of the water, it's like, okay, now you're cleansed. Now get about the business of staying cleansed.
Oh, yes. Now your robes have been washed white. Now don't go get them dirty. You know, and instead of being raised to a threat, you're raised up in hope, you know. And but I love symbolism. I love ritual. I think ritual is a very beautiful human experience. But ritual can either be there to enforce lies. You know, Hitler certainly practiced ritual, that's for sure, to enforce and to bring people together around one thing, but ritual can also, and tradition can link the generations together. Is it something that is designed to remind you of the completed work of the cross, or is it something to put you on a path of performance? And the one thing I can assure you is that I stood at this poolside at this campground and witnessed this baptism, and it was just very sweet. It made me want to get baptized again. You know, it was very wonderful. So that's what you're talking about, Glenn, is that many people are going to practice their faith, and that's what we want to encourage. We're not trying to tell you how to celebrate your faith, but celebrate it, please. However, you know, celebrate your faith and celebrate it with others. And we have no defensiveness about the way, and this is the marvelous thing that has happened, I think, in my heart. I had to throw everything away to find the fundamental truth of the gospel. I had even threw away the benefits of the gospel, if you will. I didn't want to hear about any benefits. I just wanted to know the facts without the benefits. I didn't want my mind to try to figure out how to get the benefits by believing a certain way. But there are benefits in the gospel. I don't know what they are for every individual, but believe me, I benefit from the gospel in my life every day. And it's a very powerful, powerful thing. You know, Paul said that the gospel is the power of God. So whatever the power of God is on this earth, it is embodied in the gospel.
Well, he said that it was the power of God unto salvation.
Absolutely.
And what we have learned over these many years now, that salvation is, of course, separate and apart, connected to redemption. But we understand that what salvation is now, and salvation affects the mind and the emotions and the soul, if you will, and that is a process. And so the rehearsing of the gospel, the meditation, which literally means mutter, it has a benefit that is cleansing to the heart and the soul. It's the Bible says it's stabilizing. And
it absolutely is.
And I think also, Michael, that because, like you said, initially we threw the whole thing away. We didn't really care about what effect it would have. We just wanted to know the truth.
Absolutely.
And as we've gone down this journey together, and I'm talking about everybody that's been part of this worldwide, we have some observable things that we can point to that, generally speaking, we see that when the gospel is preached and received and thought about and meditated about, it has a stabilizing effect on people's lives. And when that happens, you don't have the kind of aberrant behavior that you see coming out of the church or coming out of strict religious halls. We talked about this the other week, that so many of the heinous serial killers almost universally came from strict religious homes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know any serial killer that came from somebody that was raised, or that raised them telling them, you know what, no matter what you do, you're righteous before God. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I never heard that one before.
No, absolutely. I don't think it's out there. I mean, we can sure wait to have the report come in, but I certainly have not heard of it. You know,
you talked about Hitler. Hitler was raised Catholic.
Oh, absolutely.
And Adolf Hitler, who was sprinkled or baptized as a baby in the Roman Catholic Church, has never been excommunicated by that Roman Catholic Church.
There is news for tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Mahatma Gandhi's comment about Christianity and Jesus. He said that he would be persuaded of Jesus Christ if it wasn't for Christians.
Yes, yeah, and so would all the Jews.
and there are thoughtful people out there, Michael, that, in fact, I'm reading a book right now by a guy named John Meacham, who is the editor-in-chief of Newsweek magazine, and he wrote a book called American Gospel, which I highly recommend. It's about the history of religion in the United States. And it's fascinating to see the zealots and the legalists, what they try to do throughout the history of this country, and how every step of the way they were thwarted from turning this into what it is, a pluralistic, democratic republic, to what they were trying to do, which was a theocracy. And
right.
It is very fascinating to know that this country was not founded on Christian principles, religious principles, that this country was founded on religious freedom. It's a huge difference.
That's a huge, huge difference. Yes, and you know, the marvelous thing about this, Glenn, and speaking about the power of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Yes.
You know, one of the interesting things that came to mind in us discussing that, and we're talking about, and as we were talking about the acceptance of someone's path to that saving knowledge of the power of the gospel, and then the power of the gospel then propelling you forward into salvation. But I tell you what, the gospel is number one, freedom. And you know what, Glenn? Sometimes you have to be free to do it wrong to find salvation. If you're not free to do it wrong, there is no salvation. We have preached around the world that salvation is in doing it right. But salvation may be found in doing it wrong. Because sometimes until you've done it wrong, you don't know which is the right thing for you. Until you've done it wrong, till you've believed it wrong. I mean, why are we where we are today? Glenn, if I hadn't believed it wrong, I would have never been believing it right.
Exactly.
Because it was my believing it wrong that led me to where I am today. It led you to where you are today, and virtually every one of our listeners right now. You're not here strictly because you heard the gospel. You're here because you experienced what was not the gospel. So we have to give people that type of latitude of experience. And that's one of the things that my pastor, John Adair, is so excellent at, is giving people that type of latitude to find their own path in life. and to support them, come alongside them and support them, not in trying to get them to make the right decision, but support them regardless of the decisions they make. What a novel idea. It sounds like what a parent ought to do, you know. It sounds like what a loving God would do. Not one who is there to make sure you make the right choices, but there to let you know that your choices are not what's determining your relationship. Not with God. And that is the thing that is so marvelous about this pastoring thing that I now see with John Adair. And it's a thing that we're hoping to cultivate. I think we need more pastors out there. I think there are lots of pastors out there. But it's the frustration of not having a networking together to where that we can even celebrate this way. So yeah, exciting times. Exciting times for sure.
And you're going to be going up to Canada early next month. And there's information on the Gospel Revolution webpage about that, as well as you're coming to this part of the country in Wisconsin, central Wisconsin, in Marshfield, right after your trip to Canada. And people can come in here for themselves. And I think it's also important to remind Michael, everybody, that you are not only willing but desirous to go where people will have you come and share this gospel in whatever venue they desire to have you in. And it's as simple as just going to the website, folks. And you just click on Invite Mike, and the information is there. Just get the ball rolling. That's really what happened a couple of weeks ago in Southern Illinois when a relative new listener and a former youth pastor, Steve Essery, had you come to Southern Illinois. It just worked out quickly. And you had a bunch of people there, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And it was just fantastic. And now those folks are hooked up to the Gospel Revolution, and many of those, even from that meeting, are now involved in our Champions of Grace and getting licensed and ordained and, applying for pastors of churches and, and now able to go into prisons and jails and hospitals and things like that, where that without those credentials, they wouldn't be able to do it. So. And that is, from Steve calling, of course, I had met Kim and Jared, who were at our meeting in Richmond, and actually Kim was the one who had shared with Steve at his wife's beauty parlor. And I mean, all of this is just great stories. I just hope everybody is as encouraged as they ought to be. I know that sometimes you're not directly connected with some of this stuff, but believe me, you are connected. Everyone that is there, who supports, who prays, who is desirous of us, of all of us, to come into the unity of the faith. And this is not the unity of our faith about God. We need to come into the unity of the faith about God's faith about us. The church world is still waiting for everybody to agree on what they think about God. It ain't going to happen, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. I mean, you get one church. If you got one church that's got five members, you've got five different views of God, because it's based on experience. It's based on, what you've been taught. It's based on what your grandma believed. It's based on what you've seen and heard, and not everybody has seen and heard and experienced the same thing. But the one thing in the coming to the unity of the faith is that we are not trying to get everybody to believe the same thing about God. We're trying to get everybody to come to the unity of what the faith of God has declared them to be. And that is that through the faith of Jesus Christ, that this entire planet has been made righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God. And that law has been fulfilled and therefore put away and done away with, as it states in Corinthians, and that God has declared peace with the entire human race and truly has done what the Jewish Messiah was prophesied to do, was to come and redeem by the power of his own hand. And in that unity of faith, the world, we are going to come. I am going to spend the rest of my life, Glenn, and I know you are too, to bringing people into the unity of the faith, not to the unity of a faith, but to the unity of the faith. And the faith is the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us.
So important. Just one little word, the difference between faith in the Son of God, which is fallible, that would be our faith, and the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus himself, that is infallible. His faith was what was perfect. And you know, Mike, the irony is that we're talking about bringing people into the unity of the faith. Really, we already are in the unity of faith. We're just revealing to whoever wants to listen and whosoever will have ears to hear that we are already united.
Absolutely.
We're just unveiling what already has occurred. It does. We are all unified. It's just people don't know it yet.
It's just the salvation of it. You're exactly right.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, you'll be interested to know that Patrick L. Jones, our extraordinary executive engineer and producer, stuck around tonight, Michael, to produce this webcast in Tampa and is leaving immediately after this is through and archived, going to Nashville, Tennessee for the National Tanning Convention in Nashville. But now that's dedication. Hanging out till 10 o'clock Eastern time to get on the road after that because of his commitment to us. So, hey, Patty, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah,
really
thank you
it.
So much, Patty. And boy, I tell you, it takes commitment, too, to have not an ounce of tan and go to a tanning convention. That's one white boy, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, now, that may have changed since the last time you saw Michael. Although I don't know, because I haven't seen him for a little bit while either, because I've been on the road myself. But either way, he will represent well. That is
he will represent well.
All right. Well, listen. You know, this ended up being kind of a State of the Gospel Revolution address, and that it's all good. I mean, people are updated, and Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, I'll be back in the studio next week, and we obviously always hope to hear from you during the course of the week, folks. And don't hesitate to get in touch with us about any issue. Visit thegospelrevolution.com webpage and check into that Champions of Grace. A lot of exciting stuff. Look for your CDs and your DVDs in the mail, and please be in touch. And Michael, thanks a lot for your warm and loving words. And you know, it's very mutual, and I enjoyed it. I hope the folks did as well.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, everybody. Have a great week, and until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.